Our first reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. A reading from Exodus. God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing your children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, but rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims its maker's handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all lands, and their message to the ends of the world, where God has pitched a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The teaching of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the simple. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can detect one's own offenses? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, a reading from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Who is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading today is from John chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. The Holy Gospel according to John. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables, Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of our Lord. Our readings this morning contain two well-known pericopes or stories where God seeks out a relationship with God's people. Our first reading from the book of Exodus is the giving of the Ten Commandments to the Israelites from God. So often we believe the commandments to be laws or moral principles of how we are to live. And of course they are in a way. But that was not the reason why God gave the commandments to the Israelites. God gave them the commandments as a gift of divine love and as a covenantal partnership between the Israelites and God. The people of Israel had lived for centuries as slaves to the Egyptians. Their national identity was that of forced labor and oppression. When God finally freed the Israelites, God promised that God would be the people's God, and that the Israelites would one day be adopted as a holy nation of freedom and relationship. In the giving of the commandments, God was prescribing a new way of living, giving the people, the Israelites, the freedom to know and believe that God would provide for all. Can we imagine how the Israelites must have felt being in this relationship of divine love with God after being forced to live so many years in oppression? Our gospel reading from John this morning is another well-known story where we see another example of new life in relationship with God. But this time, it is through the person of Jesus Christ. We also see the humanity of Jesus in his emotional outburst, or as some folks have called it, a temple tantrum. The setting of our gospel reading is at the temple, just before the arrival of Passover. Now, the temple was a huge place consisting of the temple itself, as well as a very, very large courtyard. Jesus had likely arrived at the courtyard where he found the courtyard crowded with people, sheep, cattle, and doves, all in preparation for Passover. Money changers were prevalent, and the sound of coins clanging and changing hands could be heard throughout the massive building. I wonder if the temple courtyard resembled a busy Saturday morning at the St. Jacob's Farmers Market. Now, I should note that the selling and sacrificing of animals and the exchange of money in the temple was completely legal and allowed. The book of Leviticus spends much time explaining the importance of animal sacrifice to God as an atonement of sins in Jewish culture and religion. There was also a yearly temple tax that needed to be paid to the Romans, so changing money into Roman currency was a lawful practice. And it's interesting to note that in the Synoptic Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus calls the temple a den of thieves because of the profits made by corrupt sellers and money changers who took advantage of both the Jewish and Roman laws. They overcharged and oversold to folks, knowing that the temple tax needed to be paid, and also the need for blemish-free animals was vital to the atonement sacrifices. In the Gospel of John, however, there is no mention of thievery or deceit. Notice in our reading that Jesus does not drive the money changers away. Yes, he upends their tables and overturns their containers of coins, but he also made a whip to drive the animals away. So, what exactly is going on in this story? Was Jesus really angry, or were there some other emotions at play here? Professor and theologian Caroline Lewis in the podcast Sermon Brave Waves contends that Jesus was not angry. She believes that Jesus was acting out of passion because Jesus had a different understanding of the divine love of God. In the eyes of Jesus, there was no longer a need to sacrifice animals for the sake of atonement, because God was now present. God was standing directly in front of the crowds in the person of Jesus Christ. Lewis contends that God had left the building, but then she went on to add that, actually, God was never in the building to begin with. Just as God had offered a new relationship with the Israelites, God was offering another relationship with the world through the person of Jesus Christ, through the grace and mercy in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I find Lewis's explanation to be very timely for us this year, because as we are all pretty much well aware, many churches have been shuttered due to the pandemic. And I hope that we have all come to realize that God is not found only in the physical building of the church. God, through the humanity and grace of Jesus Christ, is all around us, wherever we are, whether it be at work, at home, in nature, or lying in a bed in a lonely hospital room. For so many years, Christians simply accepted that the church was the defining location of God in that hour-long Sunday morning worship service. The focus was inward, and in doing so, we missed seeing the face and heart of God through Jesus in those around us, sometimes even standing right in front of us. Now, do not get me wrong. The church is truly an important part of our ministry, and I miss it dearly right now. It is where we meet in community to share our joys and struggles. It is where we hear our beloved and timeless hymns, and it is where we share in the meal of bread and wine, and where we are given new life in the waters of our baptism. We go to church to worship together, to learn together, and to live out and share the good news of the resurrection with the world in need of unconditional and divine love. But if we see the church as being the only place to truly know God, are we more focused on ourselves rather than God? Are we being vulnerable and giving our faith an opportunity to grow? Both of our readings today speak of the gift of a new covenant and relationship with God. They speak of God turning the world upside down, like I so often say, offering unconditional love to all. The gift of the Ten Commandments so many centuries ago does not show us what we need to do to receive the grace of God. The commandments continue to light the way, just as Jesus lights our way through the darkness into the eternal light and life. As we continue on this journey of Lent 2021, may we take some time to reflect on these gifts given to us freely by God. May they continue to deepen our faith and shape our lives in the image of Jesus Christ, so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus, turning the world upside down by sharing our love and compassion with all around us. Let it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is from the ELW 723, the Canticle of the Turning.